Greetings, my peeps, and welcome to the All Things Basketball Podcast with your boy GD. In this episode, I will be doing, I will cover Anthony Edwards and what he said about the old heads back in the day, and also Cheryl Swoops. I'll talk about all that's going on with her and this whole Caitlin Clark brouhaha. So we'll talk about that as well. And I kind of combine the two together, if you will. So anyhow, just sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. Okay, guys, it's your boy GD back with the All Things Basketball with GD podcast. And guys, it has been a minute since I've recorded last. Actually had some family tragedy that has come my way. So had to deal with those sort of things. So for those that believe in the power of prayer, I ask that you keep me and my family in your thoughts and prayers. That would be much appreciated. But nonetheless, I am back, and a few things on my mind, guys. Two major things, and I think they kind of go together. As you can see the title there of Embracing the Past and Welcoming the Present. I think in the case of Anthony Edwards, who I'll speak about first, it's a matter of him at least embracing the past. And then we talk about the present. In that regard, Cheryl Swoops and all that she's been doing these days in regard to Caitlin Clark. I'll talk about the backlash she's gotten, and I'll kind of, you know how I do it. I'll be ranting and so forth. So without any delay, let's get right into it. So Anthony Edwards, he goes on an interview with the Wall Street Journal, in fact, which I found a bit surprising, being that it is the Wall Street Journal. But he talks to a reporter there, Lane Florsham, and talk about a variety of things, but the biggest thing that's come out of it is that what he said in terms of basketball back in the day. I guess he was asked about it, you know, about how he thinks today's players would translate back then or whatever the case. So Anthony Edwards, he first admitted that he didn't watch much of basketball from back in the day. And let me pause here for one quick second. I don't understand how these guys come into the NBA and with no knowledge whatsoever of what has been done in the past. I mean, to me, it makes sense to kind of read up on the past exploits, like the Boston Celtics of the 60s, and then you come into the 70s, you have teams like the New York Knicks who win a couple of titles in that decade. Then you have the Milwaukee Bucks, the LA Lakers. It was a variety of teams that won in the 70s. Washington Bullets included, Seattle Supersonics. So a lot of different teams, Portland Trailblazers. And then you come into the 80s, which many deem the golden era of basketball, where you had Magic Johnson come on the scene along with Larry Bird. And then later, Michael Jordan would come in. Also, you have the likes of Isaiah Thomas within that time frame. And of course, you have guys like Charles Barkley, Hakeem Olajuwon, Ralph Sampson at one point, Dominique Wilkins. The the list goes on of all the players, and not to mention the highest scorer for that decade, Alex English. So you had a myriad of guys there. And of course, the championship runs of the Lakers and the Celtics during that time, mixed in with the Detroit Pistons within that time frame as well. And then in the 90s, Jordan breaks through and starts winning championships, six of them in the decade. Mix in with that, the Houston Rockets, who were able to snatch a couple while Jordan was on hiatus. And then you go to the 2000s, so on and so forth. So with that said, Anthony Edwards, he makes this statement that although he didn't watch much basketball back in the day, he felt there was hardly anyone that had skill outside of Michael Jordan. And then he said once Kobe came along, it's like, oh, you know, you got enough, you know, another type player who has skill and all that sort of stuff. And he also said that he thinks it's tougher. He didn't think it was all that tough back then as opposed to now. So, and of course, when you say stuff like that, you say ridiculous stuff like that, you're going to get called out. Among those, Magic Johnson, who basically said, I don't speak to people who hasn't won championships on any level. Man, what a solid hit there. But this is Magic Johnson. He has the cachet. He can definitely say that and it'd be all right. Then you have players of today like Paul George, who said it was kind of disrespectful to the game, him saying that, which I have no argument there. I think Paul George is right. Kevin Garnett, he says, I don't think anybody in this generation could have played back in those days, including Anthony Edwards. He even named Jason Tatum, and he said, probably some of the guys couldn't even make the teams. And he talked about the physicality, how it was back then, and how now they kind of scaled away from that to give you more scoring, which you see, guys, you see that in abundance these days. So that's Kevin Garnett's remarks in that regard. Isaiah Thomas, he puts out a tweet in response to this. And this is what he says. Propaganda works, so be careful what you choose to believe. That's what Isaiah Thomas said in that regard. It basically meaning that the propaganda that's being pushed out there in terms of, and I think a lot of it's is stirred up because of the GOAT debate. I'll talk about that. And then you had Dominique Wilkins. Now, mind you, Dominique Wilkins, he went on all the smoke, you know, with those guys, Matt Barnes and Steven Jackson. He went on there. And then bear this in mind, Dominique actually mentored Anthony Edwards. He mentored him, you know, because Anthony Edwards is from the Atlanta area, you know. As a teen, Dominique would give him some guidance and so forth. So you have that. And here's what Dominique said. I hate when they being the younger generation, try to poop on us to prove their point. They don't have to do that, you know, because great is great. I don't care what era you're in, but you don't use the past era to elevate yourself, because we never did that to those guys. Those guys, meaning the guys from back in the day, those things that they said. So that was his response to what was said. Now, for me, I think his comments absolutely out of bounds, absolutely without question, ill-advised, a definite misspeak by him. But I think, too, this just bears to mind the reason I created this podcast here. I did it, of course, to talk about the current state of the NBA and all that's going on there. But also, what I did was, in creating this, I wanted to highlight players of the past. And I've done so, guys. I've talked about Julius Erving. I've talked about George Gervin. Guys like Isaiah Thomas, who I just talked about. Oscar Robertson. Bob Pettit. Pete Maravich. Bill Russell. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Hakeem Olajuwon, and the list goes on of guys that I've highlighted on this podcast. And the reason I've done that is because there's a need for the younger generation to know about these guys. So, and, you know, again, I revert back to, I talk about it on this podcast all the time. I think the GOAT debate in basketball is the most ridiculous argument in sports right now. I definitely think that. And I think that has a bearing on these new school guys taking shots at the old school guys and then vice versa, because I can't let the old guys off the hook. They kind of talk about this young generation as well. So they
talk about this, and here's what I want to say.
You don't see this with other sports, guys. You don't see it in baseball, the guys of today talking about those of yesteryear. You don't see it happen there, and you don't see it happen in the NFL. In fact, in the NFL, there's such a deference to these older guys, you know? So I just think it's ill-advised, of course, definitely ill-advised, and it's just no place for it. I think we can, like I have in the title here, we can embrace the past and welcome the present. I think we were able to do that, guys, and I've talked about this in the past. That sit down that Oscar Robertson and Russell Westbrook had. It was a beautiful thing because there was mutual respect going back and forth, guys. So I think we need more of that. We definitely need more of that. But that GOAT debate that keeps going on, you know, guys like Stephen A. Smith, guys like Chris Broussard, guys like Shannon Sharpe, you know, all these different guys keeps talking about this GOAT debate, which you can't really have in real honesty, guys, because the players of today didn't have the conditions of the players in the 60s and 70s. And the guys of the 60s and 70s played under a different circumstance than the guys of today. It's just, that's just facts. And like Dominique said, I think great will translate in any era, I think. If you're a great player, if you're a player of today, I think you will be able to play in the 1960s or the 70s, given their circumstances as far as, you know, the different travel, the different ways they were keeping themselves in shape and, you know, the road, being on the road and all that kind of stuff, all those different conditions, the off season, I think that would translate, like I said, and then the reverse. Guys from the 60s, I think if they had today's conditioning, they had today's charter flights and all those sort of things, I think they could flourish as well. So I think greatness there's no boundary for greatness, be it whatever decade or era it's in. So that's my pretty much take on that. So, and just to wrap this up, Anthony Edwards as a player, you know, he's very cocky, very self-confident in himself, which, you know, man, there's nothing wrong with that. I think he runs off at the mouth a bit too much to his teammates and, you know, to the opposition, but maybe that's just me. But I think this whole crowning him the next great thing, I think, is a bit premature. He has talent, no doubt about it. Electrifying player, no doubt about it. I think he needs to show you more in the playoffs. Sure, he, you know, him and his team got to the conference finals, but I think to have a consistent run, this is like his first foray into that. I think if you could see consistency with that, then we could have the conversation. Right now, he's not even in the Dwayne Wade stratosphere right now. He's not even nowhere near that. So I say let us pump the brakes on putting this kid on such a start talking Jordan and all those sort of things. He has to get near at least a Dwayne Wade before we have those kind of conversations. So that's my take on that. So I'll just leave it there at the moment. So, all right, guys. So that is the one topic I wanted to address. And then I wanted to turn my attention to the WNBA. At this time, guys, we're winding down the last part of the season, guys. Teams are making their stretch runs to the playoffs. They're trying to position themselves. You have, of course, the New York Liberty sitting on the top right now. Nice, pushy lead on teams like the Connecticut Sun, teams like the Minnesota Lynx. So they're kind of in the catbird seat. Then you have your Las Vegas Aces. Of course, they're at the 4th seed. You know, they stumbled out the gate, but they seem to be looking like glimpses of their championship pedigree there. And then you have your Phoenix Mercury. And then you, well, right now we're talking about the hottest team in the WNBA, and that is the Indiana Fever. Indiana Fever, of course, led by their mercurial rookie, of course, Caitlin Clark. She's doing amazing things, guys. She has her team on a hot run right now. And her numbers, 19 points a game, 8.4 assists, leading the WNBA, by the way. And if she stays on this current pace, she can break the record as far as assists in a season. So she's on a great run right now. And then she has nearly 6 rebounds to go along with that. So Caitlin Clark showing how good she can be in the W. Guys, I'll say it once again. The Olympic break did her a world of good, guys. She was able to rest up. She was able to practice with her team. She was able to get her kind of her legs back under her. You saw her in the All-Star game where her shot was kind of off there. But she looks like she's in a rhythm now, guys. So for all you people, especially the Stephen A. Smiths of the world who wanted her in the Olympics, I think if you went to Kaylin right now, injected her with truth serum, she would say to you, yeah, that break really helped me. That break helped me, and it helped my team. And that's the most important thing. at this time of the season. So definitely kudos to her. And of course, she's getting support from players like Kelsey Mitchell, who's on a tear right now. Also, you have the likes of Aaliyah Boston, your leader in the locker room there. Also, Nalissa Smith, she's balling as well. And you're seeing the maturation of Lexi Hull's game and how she's added to this team. You got veterans like Katie Lou Samuelson. So, also Erica Wheeler as well. So, you're getting support, guys. And then guys, right now, remember when people were calling for Christy Sy's job? I hear crickets now. Nobody's making that kind of noise because she's doing an excellent job with this team. Sure, they started out the gate slow. They had that horrendous schedule at the beginning of the season. Seemed like they righted the ship, guys. So Christy Sy's doing an amazing job. Just got coach of the month in the W. So definitely doing a bang up job for that ball club there. So definitely props to Christy Sides. But of course, your ringleader, of course, is Caitlin Clark, who's making all the difference over there. So you have that. But of course, you have, I don't want to say naysayers, but you have this interesting case with Cheryl Swoops. Cheryl Swoops, a legend in the game, guys. We cannot discount that at any, in any sort of way. I'll tell you her accolades, guys. Native of Texas, a scorer extraordinaire. She played 2 years with Texas Tech after playing JUCO basketball in junior college, of course. She was supposed to attend the University of Texas. That fell through. So she goes the JUCO route, and then she spends 2 years at Texas Tech. Two illustrious years, guys, in which her senior year, she wins an NCAA title. And scoring in that game, a record that still holds till today, guys, 47 points that she scored in that championship game. A two-time All-American, several Player of the Year awards, especially in that 1993 season. She is a member of the iconic 1996 Women's Olympic team, the one that played in Atlanta, the one that inspired two pro basketball leagues coming out of that. She was the first player signed with the WNBA, a 12-year pro, 6 times an all-star, 4-time champion, 3 times league MVP, 3 times defensive player of the year, 2-time scoring leader, also 2-time steals leader, 7-time all WNBA, 5 times first team, and then 2 times on the second team. She's on each anniversary team, guys, starting with the 10th anniversary, continuing to the 15th, 20th, and most recently the 25th anniversary team she's named to. She's in several Hall of Fames, guys, including in Texas, in Houston, also the Naismith Hall of Fame, and also the Women's Basketball Hall of Fame. 6-time gold medalist and 2-time bronze medalist for Team USA. She tried her hand at coaching also, guys, starting with high school team Mercer Island. And then she would go on to coach in college, Loyola University at Chicago. Spent about a year and a half there. Not too good there, but it is what it is. She returned to her alma mater, Texas Tech, as a color analyst and also working as director of player development. Then she would go on to do analyst work for the Dallas Wings. And then on top of that, also, guys, she has her own podcast that she does, Queens of the Court. She does that podcast. And then also she makes appearances on Gilbert Arenas' podcast, which is called Gil's Arena. So with all that said, let's talk about some statements she made that were off track, inaccurate. She made these actually on Gilbert's podcast when Caitlin Clark broke the NCAA scoring record, the all-time scoring leaders record. She went on there and said that Caitlin Clark was a fifth-year senior, which she was not. She was a four-year senior who had a COVID year in her pocket that she could use, which she did not. She didn't have a fifth year at Iowa. She did her 4 years and then went to the W. And then also she said that Caitlin takes 40 shots per game. In actuality, guys, she doesn't even take 23 shots per game, 22.7 to be exact. So a bit of an exaggeration there. And to which she did do a mea culpa in that regard. She did walk it back. On another occasion, she made note of the fact of Caitlin Clark breaking the NCAA tourney scoring run that you have, you know, the during a season. She stated that Caitlin did it in 6 games, whereas she did it in 5 games. So there's that. But eventually, Cheryl did call Caitlin Clark a baller after seeing Caitlin drop a 40-point game performance back-to-back. So she has given her flowers. Is it to the liking of others? That remains to be seen. I'll talk about that. When she was asked about Caitlin Clark's potential in the WNBA, she was asked about it. Here's what she said. Will Caitlin Clark be a good pro? Absolutely. Will Caitlin come into the WNBA and do what she's doing right now immediately? Absolutely not. Not going to happen. And she cited, you know, the skill level that's in the WNBA, as well as the competitive nature of those ladies that are there, will make it difficult for a rookie to come in and dominate. And she feels this way not only about Caitlin, but also Angel Reese. She said that they'll be great players in time, and also that their popularity is great for the league because they'll bring in new fans, which is so necessary for the league's growth. So she's on target as far as that goes. But, of course, the Iowa faithful, they weren't having it with Cheryl. So someone created a T-shirt that said, "Don't be a Cheryl." And this is Cheryl Swoop's response to that, which she put on Twitter. "First off, I was asked for my opinion. Not asking anyone to agree or disagree. Second, never hating on anybody. Way too blessed for that. Third, I wish nothing but the best for Angel Reese and for Caitlin Clark. Y'all be blessed. Y'all funny." So that was her response to all the naysayers there. So with that said, I talked about Indiana Fever being the hottest team in the WNBA. On her Queens of the Court podcast, which I listened to some episodes, and I've heard the episodes where she showered praise upon Caitlin Clark. But this one episode is the one that's standing out for a lot of people, where Cheryl highlighted the team and how well they're playing. And she named the team, she named individuals, and she happened to leave out Caitlin Clark, which of course led people like Stephen A. Smith to go bonkers. And he even had a segment on his podcast talking about this. Shannon Sharpe, who, you know, that's my guy. I enjoy him, but he took the ball and ran with it, and he got on the Cheryl Swoops hate train and started calling her out for that. Others has done it as well. And, you know, that they began floating this narrative that's out there, all the players being jealous of Caitlin Clark. So you have that. So not only Stephen A. had a segment about it, he brought on the great Nancy Lieberman. Nancy Lieberman, well known in the women's game of basketball, her exploits at Old Dominion College, where she went. Also, her being a high school player when she was named to the very first women's Olympic team in 1976. So she has accolades as long as my arm, guys. She's played in pro leagues. She's an outstanding player, outstanding passer. She was dubbed the Lady Magic. That's how well she passed the ball, guys. And then also with the inception of the WNBA, she even tried to play during that time as well. So she was on a team playing. And then, of course, she reverted to coaching. But well-decorated in the women's game of basketball. So Stephen A. brings her on there, you know, to get somebody on his side as far as his defense of Caitlin Clark. I enjoyed her being on there, guys. I think she did drop a lot of knowledge there, but I was slightly disappointed because I think she fed into Stephen A's narrative of the, you know, the jealous girl narrative that's out there. Like, oh, like the league is jealous of her, you know, the players of the league jealous of her. And also she too echoed that Caitlin should have been playing for Team USA. Again, opinion I vehemently disagree with, wholeheartedly disagree with. I think, again, the rest did her good and her team good. So there's that. She did clarify, though, that Angel Reese and Caitlin Clark are indeed friends off the court, guys. So, you know, there's this narrative that, oh, they hate each other. You know, they're rivals, this, that. First of all, one plays a different position than the other, so you have that. But I'm trusting the word of a legend of the game who's close to these ladies than these random keyboard warriors. That's what I call them. That's trying to drum up this sort of animus between them. And the ones that are fueling the hate that's going on. And then the media too, they don't do any favors in this regard either with their slant as far as fanning the flames of this rivalry between the two ladies there. And then she also addressed the Satu Sabali comments that were made after the game, because Nancy Lieberman ended up doing the color for that game because they took Cheryl Swoops off of there for reasons unbeknown. Everybody's saying it's because of what she did on a podcast. I'll get to that. But So Nancy Lieberman addressed what Satu Sabli said, which was she applauded Caitlin Clark for what she's doing for the league while recognizing that there was a lot of Caitlin Clark fans in that arena in Dallas. So she wasn't too thrilled about that. But I think that's a fight you need to take up with your Dallas fan base, because Dallas games are sold out. So it's the fans that are reselling it on the market. And of course, you know, a game with Caitlin Clark, the ticket price is going to shoot up. So I guess they were trying to get a little coin back. So I think that's a fight Satu needs to take up with her fan base. But that's a story for another day. And then Nancy Lieberman talked about the nonsensical narrative, one that I've batted down repeatedly, about Angel Reese grabbing her own rebounds off her misses. That number, guys, at last check, 53 rebounds, offensive rebounds of hers came from her misses, which if you took those away, she still leads the league in offensive rebounds total. So you can put that argument to bed. So she batted that down. So that was her appearance on Stephen A. Then she would go later on Dan Patrick's show, again, dispelling the narrative that Caitlin Clark is being picked on, because that was the number one question Dan Patrick asked. Is there a target on Caitlin? And then, you know, they talk about the flagrant fouls. So, 17% of the flagrants that have been charged have been on Caitlin. Guys, there's been, at last check, 30 to 32 flagrant fouls. Only 5 of them have been on Caitlin. So if you do it that way, the way they were talking, I thought it was like half. I thought it was like 15 to or 10 or, you know, whatever the case. It's just 5, guys. So, I don't know. I didn't understand them talking about that, but what do I know? But Nancy Lieberman said, you know, this is what all rookies have to endure. You know, there's a baptism by fire, if you will, that rookies will go through. And Caitlin's no different. And also, he tried to get her to lean his direction, because he said Caitlin Clark, he believes, is second in the MVP running to Aja Wilson. To which Nancy Lieberman, she also gave flowers to players like LaFecia Collier, who is having a sensational season for a team that has surprised everyone in the WNBA. So she definitely deserves props. Sabrina Ionescu, what she's doing this season for the New York Liberty. Her play has been paramount to their success this season, especially given the injuries they've amassed. Well, not so much Courtney Vandersloot. She had family issues that kept her away, you know, the passing of her mom. But Benajee Laney-Hamilton, she had legitimate knee injuries that was keeping her out. So Sabrina Ionescu has had a fantastic season. Of course, Breonna Stewart's Breonna Stewart. You know what she's bringing to the table. But so she highlighted these other players, saying that they probably deserve consideration as well. So I definitely give her kudos for that. And then she likened Caitlin Clark to generational talents like Michael Jordan. Remember when Michael Jordan came into, well, if you're of a certain age, you don't remember, but not Michael Jordan, 1984, coming into the league. there was some jealousy there as well. We all know about the All-Star game, the freeze-out game, where they hardly gave him the ball in that game just to kind of make a point. So there's that. Also, Tiger Woods went through it in golf, where he was kind of ostracized and, you know, the other golfers kind of took their shots at him and so forth. But he didn't, you know, he was very good for the game of golf as far as revenue and all those things. So those guys had to endure it. So Nancy likened Caitlin's situation to those guys, which I thought was accurate. And then you have Charles Barkley. This, he goes on Bill Simmons' podcast, and this is what he has to say. These ladies, and I'm a WNBA fan. Let's stop there, Charles. Your next WNBA game you attend will be your first. I've been watching it. W for a while. I have yet to see Charles Barkley in the stands rooting for these ladies. So I don't even know how you can even go there. You're in Phoenix and you don't go to Phoenix Mercury games, but I digress. Let me not belabor that, but I'll continue with what he said. So these ladies, and I'm a WNBA fan, they could not have, again, let me sanitize things. They could not have screwed this Caitlin Clark thing up any worse if they tried. People believe what we say on TV. And that's the problem. People believe the crap that you guys put out there and they take it and run with it. I agree with you there. Just because people don't like you or your personality, they can't get on TV and slander you. I don't know what he's talking about in that regard. It's just total BS. This girl's incredible. The eyeballs she's brought to college and the pros. And for these women to have this petty jealousness, let me find the rest of it so I can read it. You say to yourself, damn, what's going on here? So, Charles Barkley, of course, he's peddling the nonsense about the, you know, the whole league being jealous of these girls. Charles, you played when Michael Jordan played, and you saw how players were jealous then. Where was that energy? Where was that energy then? And then, let's talk about LeBron James. LeBron James, he faced it in his own locker room. His own teammates were jealous of him. His own coach was jealous of him, Paul Silas. So where was you guys, where was the energy then? But no, you want to come to Caitlin's defense. You know, you deem her the poor, helpless girl. She's been all right. She hasn't complained about this stuff. It's you media guys doing most of the whining and complaining. She hasn't said a word. She's got out there. She's went out there and hooped. So this whole notion, this whole idea that, you know, she's this damsel in distress. What are we even doing with this, man? What are we even doing? And then Stephen A. Smith. First of all, he goes out here and talks about Cheryl Swoops. Cheryl Swoops was on her podcast talking about, well, she made the omission there. Should she have mentioned Caitlin Clark when she was talking about the team and their success? Of course she should have. Of course. But that's her podcast. I can't tell Cheryl Swoops how to run her podcast. And Stephen A. can't tell Cheryl Swoops how to run her podcast. So, and Stephen A., who has a podcast, you want somebody telling you what content to bring to your podcast, who to mention, who to leave out. No, you wouldn't. No, you wouldn't. And me with my podcast, I wish somebody would. The content that I bring to you guys, I bring it to you. Nobody tells me to bring this. I bring this on my own choosing. So for you to have a whole segment about her omitting Caitlin Clark on her podcast, the nerve of you. The nerve of you to even go there. Are you kidding me? That's just insanity. And let me stay on you a bit more. You and my guy again, Shannon Sharpe, went and tag team Molly Karam when you was talking about her, Caitlin Clark, saying, oh, I was right all along, wasn't I, about her? I was right. See, look at what she's doing. Nobody questioned Caitlin Clark's ability. Everybody knew she was going to be a baller. Everybody knew. But even Nancy Lieberman said she agreed with Diana Taurasi. There's going to be a process, which there was, guys. There was a process. That early part of the season where they had the treacherous schedule, that was rough on Caitlin. That was rough. But, you know, once she got practice time and she got kind of a bit of rest, you start to see a difference, guys. So Nancy agreed with Diana Taurasi. A lot of people was tearing down Taurasi for that. But Taurasi was right. There was an adjustment period that took place. And now you're seeing the fruit of it. She's gotten her, she gotten that out the way, and she's got a bit of a rhythm now, which is good. But so Stephen A, he and Shannon Sharpe tag team, and then he calls out Andrea Carter, he calls out Shania Womakay. These are the ladies that does the analyst work for ESPN, for the WNBA. He calls out Monica McNutt as well. All those ladies said the same thing. There's going to be an adjustment period. And they were right. So what did you talk about? You were right. What are you even talking about? You just want to be right in your own eyes. That's the whole thing with you. You're riding so high, even Kryptonite you think can't take you out. Come on, man. Come on. What are we even doing? So for you to call those ladies out, if I were them, well, I guess you can't do it because you're the big dog over there. So they kind of have to come to First Take to, you know, get some exposure or whatever, what have you. But if I was those ladies, I'd be like, whoa. What are you doing calling me out like this? What's up with that? But this guy, he's too much. He's too much. And again, what is this defending of Caitlin Clark like she's defenseless? She's going to be okay. She's going to be all right. She's a baller. She puts her head down, and she goes to work. So she's going to be good. She's going to be good. But you guys have to take time out to defend. I understand Dan Patrick. He probably sees her as, you know, she could be his daughter. She could be his niece or what have you. But these guys here, but I get it. It's marketing, because that's what you talk about. It's marketing, right? It's marketing. And also for clicks. It's for clicks too. It's no genuine feeling for this young lady. You want to ride and use her for your own elevation. Come on, man. Come on. That's why I said the rest did her good. Good for her. She got rest, and now she's helping her team. So, again, miss me with the nonsense, because it's false, it's fake, and I just can't deal. So, with that said, I think I'm going to end it there. But I think that's it, guys. One last thing. Some breaking news that I saw. Angel Reese will be out for the rest of the season, guys. It looks like a wrist injury from what I'm hearing. bad news for the Chicago Sky. You know, you take away the league's leading rebounder away. You know, she was averaging 13 points. The efficiency on the shots wasn't that great, but I deem that as, you know, her having to play with bad guard play, not getting the ball where she wants. Also, teams doubling, you know, Gardner tough inside. So I think the efficiency will come in time. I think it will. But this is a tough blow for the Chicago Sky. Angel Reese out for the rest of the season, guys. It's unfortunate. And, of course, we were sending prayers and well wishes for her to get well soon and definitely get well, because she's going to be in that unrivaled league that Breonna Stewart and Nafisha Collier put together. So hopefully she can rest up and get ready for that. So we just send the love and light to Angel Reese. Get well soon, and we'll see you on the court soon enough. All right, so that's it for me. I thank you for listening, as always. All Things Basketball with GD.com is the website. There I have my support buttons there. My buy me a coffee, that's on there, the button there. Also, PayPal button is there if you want to contribute. Also, Spotify donate button is there as well. Cash App, I heard Cash App is a little wonky these days, but I'll give it to you anyway. $GD, that sports dude. Again, that's $GD, that sports dude, all together. That's my Cash App. I am on all the podcast platforms, including Apple. Leave me a review, guys. Leave me a review there. Give me 5 stars wherever you see my podcast at. 5 stars, please, guys. Then also, I'm on YouTube. Like the videos on YouTube, guys. That'll be great. Also, if you want to leave a comment, you can do that as well. On the socials, TikTok, I'm creating my shorts there. Also, on Instagram, I'm heavy on Instagram, guys. Facebook, I'm finally getting back in the swing of Facebook. So I'm there. LinkedIn, I always put my episodes up there as well. So, yeah. So, and then Twitter and X, you know how I feel about that. I post, maybe. I don't give it too much credence. You know why. Anyway, so I thank you for listening. Much appreciated. And we'll talk soon, guys. Take care.